My name is Naomi Porter. Today is July 5th. I'm 13 years old, and I'm speaking with Maggie Kramer. We are recording this interview in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. First question, tell me a little bit about your childhood.
I had a very happy and good childhood. I was born in Evanston, Illinois, and my family lived in, my mother and father lived in Glenview, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And I had a stay-at-home mom, and my dad worked in Chicago and took the train every day. And we lived in about three houses until I was born in 1940. And so that was during World War II, which of course I have no recollection of it at all. But I, my parents lived in three houses until 1946, and then they built their dream home after the war, which was very common at that time. And then we lived there until I was 1952, and I had various friends, and I can remember going to the library with my mother and going to the Glenview Community Church, which was congregational, but a nice large suburban church. And then at 9 years old, my father died, and he had a heart attack. Interesting note there was that he had a heart attack in September and was on his back in the hospital until Christmas, came home at Christmas, then was on his back at our house for like 2 or 3 months, then died in March. And in contrast, today, when a man has a heart attack, or a woman, they are put on their feet the day after they have their heart attack, and they start, you know, they encourage them to walk and so on and so forth. So, you know, heart research has come long, long way. And, you know, I'm living proof of that, not myself, but my father. And then we moved back to Bloomington, Illinois, in 1952, and I can go on or I have some other interests.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so in 1952, my brother, my mother, and I moved to Bloomington, Illinois, which is in the center of the state. It is also the homeland of all my ancestors, and so my mother's parents were there. She, after my father died, she became educated to be an elementary school teacher. She already had her college degree, but not in elementary education. So she taught in Glenview, Illinois for several years. And then she, so when we moved to Bloomington, then she taught there. And I went to junior high, and my brother was in high school, and then he graduated from high school, and that summer we went on a vacation sort of to launch my brother before he went to college. So we went to this resort, and unfortunately had a swimming accident, and he died. And the swimming accident was a severed spinal cord. He dove into the water and undercurrents got him, and it severed his spinal cord. And so then he died. Very big shock to my mother, because she just lost her husband 4 years before that.
Yeah.
And so life goes on, and she decided to go get her master's, and I was in high school and had a very happy high school life. The church shall we say, swallowed me in. I was very active in our youth group, and I was also very active in our choir. We had a choir of 100 high school youth. Wow. We sang every Sunday at the First Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Actually, it was the Second Presbyterian Church. And I was very active in my high school, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want me to go on?
Going ahead.
Oh, okay. Then when I was at home, my mother was going to school at that point. So I had a lot of time at home alone. And so I enjoyed sewing. And so I became very interested in sewing. And so eventually I began sewing for people in the neighborhood. And I really liked that. And I participated in things at church. I had a boyfriend. And my boyfriend was very important to me, and I think that was sort of a replacement for my brother, you know, that emotional attachment.
Yeah.
And one thing I also did was in the summer I went to church camp at Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. They had the lovely church camps, and so that was very meaningful to me. And then when I'm trying to think of when it was. I guess it was right after high school. No, must have been before that. I was a counselor for church school. And I really loved working with kids. And I really loved working with junior high kids. So that was sort of tucked back in the back of my brain. So as I graduated from high school, I loved fashion design, and I loved sewing, etc., etc. And so I decided that's sort of the field I wanted to go into was fashion. So I chose Iowa State University, which has one of the very top home economics schools. Now, home economics is sort of a dying breed these days, but in that field, we studied nutrition, we studied child development, we studied fashion, we studied home management and interior decorating. And and there were 5,000 in the home economics school at Iowa State, whereas, you know, you would probably be 50 in other schools today. But so it was a thriving thing. And I had a wonderful time. I pledged a sorority and Chi Omega, and I had a great time in college as well as learning a lot. One thing I have to back up. Is this too long?
Oh, no, not at
okay.
all.
right after I graduated from high school, I decided to go on a bicycle trip in New England. So I went with a group called American Youth Hostels, and I bicycled all over Massachusetts, Vermont, Nantucket, and Martha's Vineyard. And we would cycle about 40 miles a day, and then we'd stay in these youth hostels. And youth hostels are renovated barns, churches, and very simple dwellings. And I did that for, I think, about a month. And it was lots of fun, exciting, and I got to see a lot of the East. And so then I returned home and went to Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University. Then, in my junior year, some of my friends and I decided we wanted to go to Europe. And so I said, well, let's look into American Youth Hostels. And by and by, they did have lots of trips available. So we got this whole thing created, and I went home to my mother and I said, Mom, I want to go to Europe and I want to, go on a youth hostel trip. And she said, Dear, I just don't know that we can afford for you to go to Europe and for you to finish two more years at Iowa State, because I had decided to go into education at Iowa State as a junior, and it was going to take me two more years to finish my degree. And she said, if you would come home and go to Illinois State, where, by the way, she was a professor, then I could, go out to Europe. So I evaluated the situation, and I would only have one more year of college. I would get my education degree, and I would get to go to Europe. And because of instant demand, we all want our pleasures to be satisfied. We don't look at the long term. But it wasn't that bad of a decision. I decided to go to Europe. And so six friends and I crossed the ocean on the Grote Bear, which was a student ship, had a wonderful voyage, and then landed in England. And we went to England, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Austria, Switzerland, and France. And we, again, traveled about 40 miles a day on bicycles and saw Europe that way. Great, great trip. I still have fond memories of it. And then I returned home, lived with my mom, and went to Illinois State University, where she taught. And it was kind of a subdued existence after being at a big university, but I did get my degree in education. So that's my childhood.
Okay. What are you proudest of professionally or personally in your life?
Well, I would say having a successful 27 years of teaching as a home economics teacher, and raising two contributing members of society, my son and my daughter.
What important lessons has your religion, Christianity, taught you, and how has it shaped your life?
I would say that we must serve others, and we have to count our blessings. I think so many people are so fast to criticize everything around them rather than being grateful for the earth, the beauty of the earth, the wonderful people that are working day by day to help us all, and that type of thing. And personally, I have grown so much in my music information, because I do sing in the choir, and that's been a later acquisition of mine. But I feel a lot more informed about classical music and that type of thing, and just how I love music. I really, really love to sing and be in the choir. Just that God is a compass, and if you follow Him, He will, is always there for you.
How has St. Peter's been a meaningful place for you, and can you tell me about your involvement?
I have many, many friends at St. Peter's. I think, a little over-involved, but I do choir, which requires practice and performance every week. I am also in Quilters Plus, which is a charity organization where we make quilts for hospitals and the YWCA. I am on the flower arranging committee, so I arrange flowers. Through our church, volunteer at Shawl House. And I go there once a week, and I've been doing that for 12 years. And Shawl House is a facility for drug-addicted women, and I teach them how to sew. And it's kind of a diversion for them while they're there for their 30 days, and or no, it's not 30 days, 3 months, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're there for 3 months, and they have a sense of self-pride after they finish their projects. So, and we always have some good conversation. So I do that, the Shawl House. And, and I also am in Martha Mary Circle. And I'm going to be making corsages tomorrow for the 90-year-olds. And I guess that's all.
That's a lot. What changes do you see for kids growing up now in contrast from your childhood?
I think one of the big things is that they have to let loose of their electronics.
Yeah.
I think they have a hard time conversing with people, especially adults. And I don't know that that's anything new. I did teach high school for 27 years, so I know high school kids, and high school kids during that period of their life are not as connected with adults as they are in other times. So that's one of the main things, I think, is that they're so absorbed in their iPhones and iPads and whatever, their computers, that they sort of neglect the rest of society and what's going on around them. Although they would argue they get that from their iPhone. But I think they're marvelous in their physical pursuits and their academic pursuits. I think academically, kids today are much more responsible and in tune. Of course, I see children that come from savvy and educated families, not the whole cross-section of everybody. So, you know, I can't say that that's true of all children, all teenagers, but I just think that they're really with it, and they really are concerned about getting good grades, etc.
Yeah. Getting into college and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's a lot of it. Parents put a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah. Can you tell me about a memorable story or experience you have?
A what kind of experience?
A memorable story or experience. It can be from your childhood, from college, from your job, from now. Just something that you'd like to reflect on to close up our interview.
Well, let's see. I can't think of one, but of course, probably one of the most dynamic things in my life was after losing my father and my brother, then my mother died in Egypt when I was 25. So that was the third and last member of my family. And
wow.
So I've grown up without my family. But the thing that I have learned is that you have cousins and you have in-laws, and they can fill that void as much as anything. So never discount those people. They are your family too. So that's what I guess I'd say.
Yeah.
And always have a positive outlook. You know, don't be a downer. Always be positive and count your blessings.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to reflect on or share before we end our interview?
No, other than I think this is a great project, and it'd be interesting. Are you going to write a report about it?
I am, yes.
That'll be
something like that.
Good. I brought this to you because I just finished this last winter, and it's a story of my life and all of my ancestors from 2000 to now. And on both my mother and father's side. And so I wrote this for my five grandchildren and my children so that they would, know from whence I came. And so I really encourage people to do that, because then you can, you know, have a record of it.
Yeah. Okay, so I